I'm Nina Jaffe, and it's time to say hello again to Marilyn Burns, math maven to thousands of teachers and author of books about math for both teachers and kids. Her latest book is called So You Have to Teach Math? Sound Advice for K to 6 Teachers, written by Marilyn and Robin Silby and published by Math Solutions. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Nina.
I've been looking over the book, and it's quite wonderful. Marilyn's book is in a question and answer format, and it's filled with 101 questions that both new teachers and veteran teachers might have. And then Marilyn offers answers to those questions based on more than 30 years of experience as a teacher, author, and creator of in-service workshops and materials for teachers. And today, Marilyn, I want to spend our time together talking about manipulative materials, blocks, rods, cubes, things that kids can touch and manipulate. I know that lots of teachers use manipulatives and think that they really help kids learn math, but parents aren't always so sure, especially when it looks like kids are just playing during what's supposed to be math time. So, Marilyn, here's the question. How can teachers help parents understand why manipulative materials are important for helping children learn math?
I think it's an important question, and I think there are several ways that teachers can help parents understand this. And I think in not only helping parents understand, but help the students themselves, especially the older students who are saying, why are we working with these? First of all, math is an abstract subject, and manipulatives give students a way to really make abstract ideas concrete. We always know a picture's worth 1,000 words, mm-hmm. but experience with the real thing is even more valuable, and that's what the materials have the potential to do. Manipulative materials lift math off the textbook pages, and they give students a way to get their hands on math ideas. Mm-hmm. We want children to become comfortable and proficient with math ideas and with math language, and the materials give us a context for talking about it. It also, they also give students confidence because it gives them a way that they can actually test their own ideas in the physical world with the real materials. Mm-hmm. So there are many, many ways that materials can make math come alive, and they're extremely valuable. Mm-hmm.
Could you give an example of a way that a teacher might quickly but helpfully explain to a parent why he or she is using a particular manipulative material in her work?
Sure. And I think probably one of the better ways to think about it is in terms of number, because parents' major concern is my child learning what my child needs to, and it's that question of back to the basics in arithmetic. I think about young children who are learning about the number 10 and all the different ways we can add numbers to get to 10. Imagine giving the child interlocking cubes that they like sticking together, making them into trains, and saying to the child, well, take any two colors you want and make all the trains you can with using just 10 in each train and find all the different ways to arrange the colors. What the child is doing is building 6 plus 4, 5 plus 5, 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2. The child is creating, and the child's ideas are being expressed through the materials, which then we connect to the symbolism of mathematics. It works just perfectly.
Mm. So then parents might see their ways that what children do at home in terms of playing with home materials is actually connected to what they're doing in school.
Sure, money is concrete. Get your hands on those pennies, nickels, and dimes, and I encourage parents every day, dump out your change in your pocket or purse, let the child count the money, and do it with them.
Mm. Marilyn, what tips do you have for teachers who might never have used manipulatives for math before now?
Well, take a deep breath. Stay calm about this. Give the children time to freely explore the material and tell them, right now I'm going to give you 15 minutes, or I'm going to give you more than that, to see what you can learn about this material. And then say to the children, when you're done, we're going to spend some time talking about what you discovered about the material, so pay attention. This way, the children have free time and the teacher has a structure to come back to it and talk with the children. And once you've done this, then find a problem that you can present to the children that they can use the materials, like the one I just suggested about the interlocking cubes.
Mm. How would you?
I think one important note, teachers sometimes use these materials as demonstrations to show, and be careful because the notion is that the children get their hands on these materials.
Mm. I'm wondering if there's some ground rules in terms of helping teachers explain to children how to use manipulatives and materials so that teachers feel that class management is well under hand.
Absolutely. I think that children need to know that when they're working, where they are supposed to be working, whether it's at their table, at a desk, or even on the floor in a rug area, that they're not to interrupt other children. They need to know how to get the materials from where they are. I have used zip-top baggies for years with kids. I literally have taught them how to close a zip-top baggie so when they pick it up, everything doesn't spill out. Where do the materials go when you're done with them? And how do you get them and use them appropriately? It's the same as the classroom management in all areas. And it needs the kind of preparation and reinforcement for children to become comfortable in this way.
Mm-hmm. That's so helpful. How many different materials does a teacher need to start using manipulatives?
Oh, boy. I guess you can start with what you can get. But even if you had one or two, I think you would probably, if you can get enough of a class set, introduce everybody to the idea at once. There probably are five or six basics that I've always used: pattern blocks, Cuisenaire rods, color tiles, interlocking cubes, tangrams, geoboards. But most importantly, you have to work this out in a teacher on how you feel. If you want the whole class to use it, you have to arrange, even if it means sharing with other teachers, to get enough materials so everybody can use the same materials at once. Mm-hmm. Once your class gets more comfortable, you'll have the materials there so they become tools for the children to use when they're doing math investigations and solving problems.
So teachers can use these materials at their own pace as well.
Sure. And I think they can sometimes send home samples of materials to parents and have the students show their parents what they're using these materials for. That helps enormously.
That's another wonderful suggestion. Thanks, Marilyn. Once again, it's been great talking with you.
Same here, Nina.
And remember, you can find lots more about Marilyn's ideas and the whole range of math-related products and services offered by her company by logging on to her website. The company is called Math Solutions, and the website address is www.mathsolutions.com. That's www.mathsolutions.com.